Drunken Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan.
Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Welcome in to another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast. Jay Adams, Daniel Cox here. We are basketball crazy now, right?
March Madness.
March Madness. The madness is underway.
My brackets will be made, but I always have one issue.
Yeah, what's that?
I can't pick against my team.
See, you got to put that to the side. You
There's
cannot.
No, way. No, I
you
cannot. I refuse.
You can't pick with emotion.
I'm happy to have my brackets ruined most years to pick my team all the way.
See, you asked me like a month ago like what my team was going to do, and I'm like, we're going all the way, man.
Oh, yeah.
We're going all the way. And so we can see here.
Right.
We're representing.
Yes, yes.
Carolina, Syracuse. Now, I would say, somebody asked me last night, like, which Q's team is going to show up?
And I said,
likely the one that's going to disappoint us all in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, really.
And that's not me. Look, I still believe in my team.
Absolutely.
All right? And I'm just going off of what has happened recently, and we're all on pins and needles.
Yeah, no, I understand. Carolina's in the same position.
Yeah.
A couple of bad, not bad, but just losses here at the end where they didn't play as well as they did during the stretch of the other part of the season. But I just can't. I go into the tournament. I love the tournament. I love watching the games.
So do I.
And I go in, but I want Carolina to win every single year.
Yeah.
And I just can't bring myself to pick another team.
You got
to
take the emotion out of it.
Yeah.
Here's why I filled out probably like four brackets now.
Okay.
And here's why I think that I've got a better shot at doing well this year than any other year. And I'll tell you why. It's mm-hmm. because you could fill a book with everything I don't know about college basketball this year.
That's true.
I know nothing. Like, really, I know about Syracuse. Mm-hmm. I know about the ACC, a couple of teams, because I've been able to catch some games. But for some reason, I've just not been able to pay attention to it this year.
Yeah.
And I'm just a little lost on... Did you know there's a team named the Billikens that are in? St. Louis Billikens are in the...
No clue.
Do you know what a Billiken is? It's like this little troll-like thing.
Okay. I was thinking like a griffin or one of those
horse. No, it's not a horse.
Winged horses.
Well, yeah. No.
Some of those things.
A Billikin is like a little troll kind of thing. It's weird.
Okay.
Anyways, no offense to our St. Louis fans out there, but that's I'm always one of the reasons I love the tournament is because you always see those teams that you've never heard of or never really paid attention to with like the interesting mascot names.
Oh yeah.
Like the Salukis or you know, there's a bunch of them out there.
Yeah. What was the Florida Gulf Coast last year? They were fun. I enjoyed them. It was
Dunk City, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I can't remember what their mascot was.
I can't either.
I just thought it was kind of cool that they were there.
But the Mercer Bears from right down the road in Macon, Georgia in the tournament, taking on Duke in the first round.
Yes. And that would be, that would make my day.
The upset of upsets. Yeah. Carolina fan. Now, look, I'm in, like, we're rivals now.
I know. Yeah. Welcome to the ACC, by the way.
Thank you. it's going to be fun because you can already see, like, the Duke side of things in Syracuse. There's some kind of...
What is that?
What is going on?
I just can't make it... I can't ignore it anymore. No.
but you saw, like, the Duke-Syracuse rivalry is going to be there. Yeah. That's going to be a fun one.
No doubt.
To watch. And as much as I'm going to miss... the rivalries with Georgetown and UConn in the Big East. I'm just as excited as for those rivalries, and I think the one between Syracuse and North Carolina will pick up as well.
So. Absolutely.
Well, everyone's doing brackets.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone.
Yes.
So, I've seen like other NFL teams have done brackets, like choose our best play of all time, and all this other stuff, and so everybody's doing them. So why should you and I be any different?
I know. I mean, hopping on the trends.
Might as well.
Yeah.
We're sheep anyways. So. but we came up with our own bracket.
Right.
So we're going to do our own bracket, but it's not college basketball related.
Right.
We're going to do a bracket to determine who the Falcons select at number 6 overall in the NFL draft.
Can you believe it's still like a month and
50 week? Days.
Good Lord.
50 days from today with the filming. So when you're watching this, 49 days. 49 days.
That's a long way.
It's a long way, but it's not. It'll be here before you know it.
Okay.
But we got a lot to talk about between now and then.
All right.
So let's go in and jump into our bracket here. Mm-hmm. So we've got this broken down into two sides, offense and defense. So in the end, the championship game is going to be between one offensive player and one defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk our way through this. And excuse me, we're going to ramble our way through this. And we're going to figure out, using the ever-popular bracket method, who the Falcons will select at number 6 overall. In May. So let's start on the defensive side of the ball. Okay. And first round matchup, we've got number 1 seeded Khalil Mack versus number 4 seeded Jadeveon Clowney. And how we did the seeds here, kind of based on likelihood. I know there's going to be controversy because everybody's going to be like, why is Clowney not number 1? Well, a lot of projections that he's going to Houston. A lot of projections that he's going to be gone and off the board. So that's why I'm thinking we're going for two different things here. We're going for likelihood and talent. So
fit.
Those are the two. Those are need. So those are our criteria for selecting these guys and also for seeding them. And I know there's going to be a lot of people upset at how the seeds have gone, but
there always are.
there was a method to the madness. Just so you know. All right, so that's why Jadeveon Clowney is a number 4 seed, because it seems like the likelihood of him being there at number 6, not very high.
I understand, and there are still those that believe that he will be, and they tweet me daily remind me.
I'm sure we would love that.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
Now, there are some projections out there that have Khalil Mack now being long gone before the Falcons select. So, and that'll play into one of our first round matchups a little bit later on. So, Khalil Mack versus Jadeveon Clowney, who you got?
Khalil Mack. I mean, it would be easy to say, you know, even if both players were there, you'd still take Khalil Mack, but that's an easy thing to sit here and say for me, who I have nothing invested in the pick.
Yeah.
But you got to like the way that Khalil Mack would appear to fit into what Coach Nolan and some of the evolution of what's happening on defense. You know, we don't know. Ultimately, we're just going to call it a hybrid 4-3-3-4 principles. Both. I just feel like Khalil Mack can do a lot more in that fit. He can rush the passer. He's a great run defender, and he can do some things in coverage as a linebacker. And that was a weakness last season as well. And we're not sure that Clowney can do some of those things. But just from a pass rush standpoint, I mean, he might be one of those like decade guys.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna agree with you here on Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack advances in my bracket because you have some great reasons here.
Yeah.
My reason is simply I don't think he's going to be there.
Fair
enough. I don't think he's going to be there, and I don't know that you trade up and get him.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know that you mortgage that second round pick to go up and get him.
Mm-hmm.
He's make no mistake, everybody's calling him a once in a lifetime player. It seems that way. And normally when you've got players like that, if you want them, you go get them.
Yeah.
I just don't know. We know Thomas Dimitroff has never been afraid of trading up and to make those moves. So that's why I always leave it open to the possibility. I'm never going to sit here and say I don't think or I know for sure that this is not the guy that we're going after. I view it as kind of unlikely this year. I feel like maybe the front office is valuing having those picks a little bit more than in previous years to add depth and fill needs, really, because you really got to figure your first two picks are going to directly go to filling a need. So to me, it just seems unlikely that he'll be there, and it seems unlikely that you would trade up and get him.
I think you make a good point. I mean, how often do the Falcons pick at 6, at least under this particular regime? I mean, I know we traded up to get Julio, 2010 or 2011, whenever it was, 2011. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was a different type of move, you know. And in this draft, it's pretty stocked. And just having that pick at 6 and just having the ability to stay put and you still get a really good, really high-level talented player like Khalil Mack versus Clowney, I think there's some merit to just sticking there and letting those guys fall to you.
Yeah. All right. So both of us are agreed that Khalil Mack advances. Rob, let's move Khalil Mack on to the next round. We're going to get to the next part of this bracket. And we are going to go with number 2, Anthony Barr, UCLA linebacker, versus, and this is the new one, number 3, Alabama safety, Clinton Dix. And this one, everybody's like,
Yeah.
Because, you know, the picks to this point have all revolved around having a lineman on one side of the ball, or a pass rusher. You know, that's kind of where everything has kind of gone. This guy is a special safety. You have that need right now. Free agency is not over by any means, but you got to think, we're going about this as if the draft was today.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's a guy who fills a need for you, is a special player. I think if you get him or you're going to go after him, you trade back.
Right.
Because you could probably get him in the teens. So you find a trade partner who really wants to get up, maybe get a quarterback. Because there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to try to go after those top three or so quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody wants to move up to 6.
Yeah.
So maybe you move back and you pick up a guy like this, and then you add a draft pick.
Yeah.
That's why he's in number 3 on the likelihood, you know,
I hear you.
Category, is because Thomas Dimitroff doesn't usually trade back.
Yeah. He
trades forward. So this would be a brand new scenario for him. But then Anthony Barr is a special player, good pass rusher, seems to fit the direction the defense is going right now. So he seems more of a likely pick, maybe.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on these two?
Clinton Dix, that's kind of the wild card, obviously, and that's, you know, as free agency continues on and you don't see a move made at safety, you know, outside of what's already on the roster, you kind of have to assume a guy is going to come in from somewhere.
Yeah.
Picking him that high, but at 6, I think is kind of out of the question. But like you say, you know, making a trade back would be a wise thing. But again, I feel like it's more important to rush the passer.
Okay, so you're going Anthony Barr here.
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning more towards Clinton Dix.
Okay.
So we got to flesh this out.
Okay.
I could see Barr because he does fit. I think he's another guy, though, if you want him or if he's going to be your guy, you trade back, because I think he's going to be a reach at number 6. So I think either way, for either of these guys, you're going to trade back to get them.
And I guess from my perspective, again, how often, you know, hopefully next season the Falcons aren't picking at, you know, number 6, number 8, number 10, or whatever. So how often do you have a chance to be at the top of the draft and pick a top-tier guy? And how often do you get a chance to pick, you know, a top-tier guy at a top-tier position, like pass rusher?
Yeah, you know, no, you're right.
Outside linebacker.
But here's the thing is that in Barr, you're getting maybe the number 3 pass rusher in the draft. In Clinton Dix, you're getting the number 1 safety available in the
draft. Which would you say is the bigger need?
I mean, at this point, they're both needs. Because right now you've got guys in play at pass rush positions that you think are going to be able to produce.
Mm-hmm.
Right now you have no one at safety. You've got a hole right now.
Yeah.
So you got to fill that with somebody. To me, that would seem like a little bit more of a pressing need. Sure, you've needed a pass rush for a long time, but you're hoping that maybe the defensive scheme is going to help kind of produce some of that with some of the guys on your roster. I don't know. I'm just grasping at straws here to make this case, but I feel like when you've got an open slot on your depth chart at number 1, it becomes a more pressing need, I think, than trying to find some pass rush or things like that. I don't know. Okay. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, but then Anthony Barr plays the same position as Khalil Mack, right?
Right. So that's the thing. It all comes down to, okay, you know, do you want the pass rusher versus the safety? And that's ultimately what we're trying to debate here. I don't think that we're you and I are going to come to a consensus here. Yeah. What I will concede to you, though, is I would think that just putting myself in that scenario – or just kind of maybe projecting, I would think that they would lean more towards Barr than they would Clinton Dix. So let's move on Anthony Barr.
Okay.
Let's move him on for the sake of argument and move him on for the sake of keeping this somewhat timely. But right. If you guys have thoughts on this one, I would love to hear it.
Absolutely.
Because it's a tough one. It's yeah. a tough one to try and figure out.
And we had the draft spotlight this week on Clinton Dix. You know, and as I read a little bit about him, looked up some stuff, checked out clips and things like that, I mean, he's a really good player. I mean, he would be... You know, he would be a really good fit, and he's. I mean, I'm really intrigued by him. All of a sudden,
yeah.
I'm really interested in him. I just, for me, again, you know, and it's just kind of a philosophical thing more than anything. I think maybe just between the two of us, but I think pass rusher is really has to be your top priority on defense.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's move over to the offensive bracket, and I know that this is where things are going to get a little bit hairy because of our number four seed here. So we've got number one seed, Auburn offensive tackle Greg Robinson versus number four seed Clemson wide receiver Sammy Watkins.
What?
Okay, so here's why I chose Watkins here.
Okay,
to throw into the conversation. Let's say you get to draft day. Teams that you thought were going to go quarterback suddenly get cold feet. Because mm-hmm. you talk to a lot of different guys or you read a lot on some of these quarterbacks, and nobody's really...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the cream is starting to rise to the top as far as Bortles goes. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of scouts, a lot of experts out there are starting to really, really like him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's going to be your top quarterback. But then you've got your Manziel. We saw Bridgewater didn't exactly have the pro day that he wanted to have. Right. So that changes the landscape quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
So let's say – so this is what I was thinking when it comes to Watkins. Let's say you're in a position where Clowney's gone, Mack is gone, Robinson's gone, Matthews is gone.
Wow.
I know, right? I'm crushing your dreams right now. So, Mack, Clowney, Robinson, Matthews, and then, I don't know, I couldn't see Barr or Lawan or any of those guys. So, let's just say that, like, those four guys are gone.
Yeah.
Okay? That's, to me, heartbreaking, first of all, because you really hope that one of those guys is there. Yeah. So this is what I was thinking, is do you suddenly switch to a best player available situation and try to take a wide receiver? I know a lot of fans would be really upset with that.
Yeah.
But I think when you come down to that particular scenario, I think he's the best player on the board. That's assuming that the Rams seem to like him. The Raiders seem to like him.
Yeah.
He's another one that would he be available.
Exactly.
But I think you and I can come to a pretty easy consensus on this. So.
Yeah, but I mean that scenario could exist. You know, the Falcons were unable to advance, move up in the draft, or maybe the price was too high or something like that. You're not comfortable with that, and then all of a sudden the guys that they've targeted start coming off the board, and then at number six. Maybe there's no interest in trading back either.
Right.
So, it's going to be a thought that has to be had that, is Sammy Watkins a player that we should draft?
Yeah, and I feel like, our scouting department has probably looked at him and seen him up close and all that. So, but I think this one's easy for us. I mean, you flip a coin between the two and you know that it's always going to come up Robinson. So, I think the big question with Robinson is, again, will he be there?
Yeah.
And you can argue that you can put the same set of circumstances on him that you did Jadeveon Clowney because I think there are some teams in the top portion that you feel maybe would want him. So the likelihood, if we're getting into likelihood again, of him being there may not be so strong. But I think in this case we move along Greg Robinson, and that's it. But I think it's interesting debate with the best player available.
Sure.
What do you do in that situation? So anyways, Jake Matthews, number two. The offensive tackle out of Texas A&M versus number three, Michigan offensive tackle Taylor Lewan.
Mm-hmm.
And these are two interesting guys. I think in Matthews, you get a guaranteed 10-year All-Pro.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way I see him. It's like he's not going to be you look at Robinson, and Robinson's a mauler.
Yeah.
Okay, great in the run game. Like, you know, you need third and one, you're running right up his behind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he stands out. You know, you see him running across the field, clearing it out.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah, he reminds me of a lot of, like, Orlando Pace.
Yeah.
When you saw Orlando Pace in his Ohio State highlights, when he's, like, lead blocking and he's like 40 yards downfield ahead of a running back, or he's catching up to a running back who's like breaking away. That's the kind of guy that Greg Robinson reminds me of. Jake Matthews is more of a, he's going to be kind of your quiet, just no nonsense kind of guy who's just going to block his butt off for you.
It's like Jake Matthews could get drafted, and we don't mention his name for 10 years, but he's a Pro Bowler.
Right, and what's crazy is that he's been so overshadowed by Robinson and Mack and Clowney and all these other guys that I know just aren't in my mentions. I don't get a lot about Jake Matthews, but I get tons about the other guys.
Right.
I think it's a win. If you end up with Jake Matthews, that's a huge win.
Absolutely.
Huge win.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've talked to some people, and they've said, you know, Greg Robinson elicits such excitement, but Jake Matthews is right there with him.
Yeah.
Both as a run blocker and a pass blocker.
Now, as far as Lawan goes, I read earlier this week that in any other draft, he's the number one tackle.
Yeah.
You know, so and he's projected right now to kind of be maybe a mid first rounder, maybe early teens.
Yeah.
But still a quality player. He's nasty for sure. I mean, if you're looking for the rugged or gritty quotient that you know, this front office seems to be applying to selecting players this year, he certainly fits that mold.
Right.
But I think these two guys being equal, you go Matthews.
You have to.
Yeah. All right. So we'll advance Jake Matthews. So now let's get down to the what are we in? Semifinals here.
Yep.
So we've got
twos here.
Khalil Mack versus Anthony Barr and Greg Robinson versus Jake Matthews. Yeah. So ones versus twos, no surprises, no upsets here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start on the defensive side. Khalil Mack versus Anthony Barr. Which is more likely to you?
More likely, I'm going with Khalil Mack.
Okay.
Again, just from even like a comparison standpoint, I think Mack's more of a currently complete player.
I'm starting to think likelihood. Barr is more of a likelihood.
Fair enough.
At that spot, just because, you know, you are hearing that other team, and it could be smoke.
Yeah.
It could just be a smokescreen, but you're hearing that more teams are near the top of the draft are starting to be interested in Khalil Mack. So it makes me wonder, is he even going to be available at 6?
Yeah.
Because a couple of weeks ago it was a slam dunk. He's going to be there. He's going to be one of the guys you're going to have to choose from. Now it seems like you could see Clowney and Mack both gone in the top three picks. So I don't know. Okay. But I still think if Barr's your guy, you're trading back to get him.
Yeah.
You're not taking him at number 6. And again, I think that when you apply that to it, it makes it less likely for me just because we haven't seen Thomas do it.
Yeah,
we haven't seen Thomas trade back. So
yeah, but man, the benefit of it
and again, everything about how they've approached free agency this year has been different in past years.
Yeah,
So I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be different than anything we're used to when it comes to the draft. Yeah. So I think you could certainly say and make that case that hey, they're going to trade back.
Yeah, you know, trade back and grab a guy like Barr who you feel confident could be there. And,
yeah.
And then, like we were saying earlier, you know, you've got a couple of extra picks now that you can move back up into the first round again if you'd like to.
Exactly. I'm going to go with you here. We'll say Khalil Mack.
Okay.
Because he's the guy you would like. If you got to choose between these two guys, it's not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
So I would go, let's move Khalil Mack on to the finals.
Okay.
And then let's get down to this Greg Robinson, Jake Matthews situation, because this one is not an easy one.
No.
You get a superior run blocker.
Who has the athleticism to become a superior pass blocker.
Exactly. And then you've got Matthews, who is just about as consistent as you can possibly get. I think the argument here that I've seen is that Matthews is... You know what you're getting out of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's reached or he's very close to his ceiling, and his ceiling's very high.
Yes.
Okay. Robinson is a guy with a higher ceiling who hasn't gotten there yet. So he's got potential. So with him, you're banking on potential. But his ceiling's a lot higher. So his potential is a lot higher. So like you said, superior run blocker who's got a heck of a lot of potential
yeah.
to become a superior pass blocker. But you've got a very good pass blocker in Matthews and a good run blocker in Matthews. So where do you go on this one? This one's hard.
I think you have to look at it from the likelihood standpoint. I think Khalil Mack is more likely to be there, honestly, for me, than Greg Robinson. So when we look at Jake Matthews and Greg Robinson, I feel like Jake Matthews is much more likely to be there.
I agree, because I really feel like Robinson's a top three pick.
Yeah, in my mind, he's out of the question.
Out of the question.
Like, in my mind, Clowney's gone.
Robinson's gone.
Like,
We're dashing the dreams.
I've stopped reading about those players.
We can hear your hearts breaking
yeah.
all the way in Flowery Branch.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you. I think it's way less likely that Robinson is there at six, and Matthews will be there. Yeah. Should be. Anyway, mm-hmm. Matthews would be there, and if you take Matthews, you get one heck of an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
And somebody that you really should be excited about.
Absolutely.
Because he adds so much to your offensive line and the outlook of protecting that huge investment that you made in Matt Ryan.
Absolutely.
So let's move on to the number two seed. We're going with Jake Matthews. Yeah. So here's our final.
Okay. Yeah, Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack, Jake Matthews. So here's the scenario. They're both available.
Okay.
They're both available at number six. Who you got?
Again, I think you have...
It's the chicken and the egg right now.
Yeah. Well, it's ultimate... I don't know, like, which is... And this is the decision I think it's going to... This is the type of decision I think it's going to come down to. This illustrates it perfectly. Which do you value more? You value protecting Matt, or do you value being able to get to the quarterback on the opposing team?
It's tough. For me, I think that Mack, you take Mack, he's blended in with a lot of other guys on the defensive side of the ball. You bring Matthews in, he's the man right away.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that. Mack's not you draft Mack, he's not competing for, he's automatically thrown in
right.
number one spot on your depth chart. So is Matthews. I think as far as impact goes, I think Matthews could have a bigger impact immediately.
Yeah. Okay. I can see how that could be the possibility. Yeah. But then I look at a guy like I see Khalil Mack and I see Von Miller. How many sacks? Look at the impact he had as a rookie.
His upside is huge. It's a very, very hard question to answer, but we've got to choose a champion.
And the other thing is you can go opposite. You know, if it's offensive tackle and pass rusher that your top two needs, you can, you know, wherever you go with number one, you can kind of you can almost expect to get a decent player at that other spot.
But just looking at the landscape, okay, there's good offensive tackles available at the top part of the draft, okay, in the first round. You can't really say that about the second round.
Mm-hmm. There's more like right tackle only.
Yes.
Guys.
There are a lot of strange dudes there in the top of the second, and if you get into the third or the fourth, then you're really rolling the dice. If you're looking for somebody to come in and strengthen your offensive line right away, you almost have to take somebody at six. Whereas I feel like there are some really good pass rushers at the top part of the second round that should be there. You know, your Trent Murphy's, your Stephon Truitt's. There's some good guys that are going to be there in the top of the second. So if you're looking, your first move is to get your first two moves are to get two guys that Phil needs on offensive line and defensive line, or at least in pass rush on the defensive side of things. Your formula seems to indicate that you're going tackle and then pass rusher. Because I just don't see the talent there available at the top of the second round. And once you get past that for offensive tackle, I mean, you're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
You know? Sure, you can make turn a guy into, you know, a player and mold him and try to do that. But I think that you're in a position where you need to protect Matt now. You can't wait for a couple of years. So for me, it's a hard, hard question. But I think because of that scenario alone, I'm going Jake Matthews. on this one, and I think you're going to disagree with me.
You've given me a lot to think about.
I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, what's going to be available there in the second half? What's more likely to be there in the second round, the top of the second round? And pass rushers are going to be there. There's going to be a couple of them.
Yeah.
Not going to be offensive tackles.
Yeah, I think you may have swayed me, because I look at it, I'm thinking, you know, if the five offensive linemen can't get the job done, it affects everything that happens on offense. You can find all kinds of players on defense to make an impact, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And that's not just saying we can just put guys out there and they'll make things happen. I mean, mm-hmm. You got to find those guys, but there's a lot of places that you can get impact on defense. You know, whereas if you can just fix the offensive line, a lot of the woes on offense can kind of fall to the side.
You have so much invested in that offense between Matt Ryan and Roddy White and Julio Jones and Harry Douglas, and you've got so much invested in Steven Jackson, and you've got so much invested in that you have to get that going somehow. And to me, that seems like your top priority. Yes, it's going to be great to get to the quarterback. You need to do that. I see that there are a lot of pieces in play right now, though, and you don't know what does Croy Bierman truly bring you in a 3-4 look, because you saw him for a 5 quarters last year, you know, or what does Massaqua bring you? If OC still, you know, what does he bring you?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what your question mark is right now on the defensive side of the ball. But I see more scenarios available for you on defense currently than I do offensive line.
Yeah.
So that's to me. For me, Jake Matthews is the guy that we send on.
As often the case, as you pointed out earlier, I go with my heart. You know, picking Carolina, and what a great way to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I love sacks. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I love watching awesome defense get played, but I think you're right. Okay. I really do think you're right.
Jake Matthews.
Yeah.
Jake Matthews is the winner. Yeah. He's the champion. Wins. Yeah.
How about that?
Wins this one. And again, I feel like you get a phenomenal player in him if you get a safe player. Again, a guy who's going to be an all-pro for 10 years of his career. So I don't think you can go wrong with him. Look, debate us. We would love to hear your thoughts on this, and especially some of the wild card guys that we threw in there for you to digest and talk about a little bit. But as of today, Matthews, I guess, would be our pick. And last week, a week ago, we were both talking about Khalil Mack. Yeah. Khalil Mack was our pick. So how things change over the course of a week is interesting. So ask us next week, it may be totally different. Matthews is our winner. Let us know on Twitter what you think about that. And thanks for joining us here on the FalconCast podcast. Go Syracuse.
Go Heels.
Go Heels. And we will talk to you next week.